I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're great to go.
All right. That was a close one.
That was a good job that you got the open going there, Jeff. Yes, good morning. We are T to Green here. Yes, officially on the air on WGR Sports Radio 550. And it is 6:58 in the morning, so we got a few extra minutes with us here. So we're looking forward to being with you here. Yes, Pendleton Creek Golf Club, one of our home clubs here on our T to Green rotation. We're happy to be back here. Sitting in their beautiful patio, and we're ready to go for a jam-packed show. Coming up here in just a moment, we're going to be joined by PGA Pro Dylan Hayes from the head golf professional here at Pendleton Creek. We'll also talk with a couple of junior golfers from the course here as well. Also, Porter Cup coming up next week at Niagara Falls Country Club, a very, very cool annual event. We'll have that information. They had their annual media day that I went to on Thursday.
You got to play a little golf too, huh?
I did.
Yeah.
It's always nice playing that course. And they have a beautiful luncheon, which, you know, they had to twist my arm to show up for that as well.
I thought that was a media stereotype. It is not. That's actually what happened.
We were there to work, get information about the event.
And some free food.
And they happened to have a buffet, which, you know, they said, you got to go up and participate. I'm like, all right.
That's the best word in the English language, buffet. Right?
That's right.
Yes.
So we'll have a little information on the Porter Cup coming up. Also, our Western New York PGA tip of the week. We'll get Jeff's insight on how to make your game better. And in our final segment, next week's the Open Championship, so we've got to talk a little bit about that as well. A lot of the big names in golf are actually already overseas playing in the Scottish Open, which is where the third man of our team, Kevin Sylvester, is this week working hard for PGA Tour Radio. So Kevin actually unable to join us today. Normally he does from the PGA Tour event because of the time change. He's actually on the air working right now over in Scotland.
Yeah, is it a five-hour time change?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's noon there, and he's sent some cool pictures out. It looks like a great trip he's on and a wonderful, wonderful golf course.
Yeah.
Always jealous of his job.
So he is, working the Scottish Open, and I know on Monday he's going to go walk St. Andrews for the practice round. So we'll have, I'm sure, some good stories coming back with Kevin next week.
Kev can tell a story, yeah, so it'll be a good one.
That's right. All right, so we've got a lot to get to, but let's bring in Dylan Hayes, the head golf professional here at Pendleton Creek. Dylan, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, making your Tee to Green debut. I know that's exciting for you.
Oh, yeah, it's a big day. Big day.
Dylan's an excellent PGA professional. He's got a unique fashion sense, though. I always like to see what Dylan's wearing and step up my game and see if I can be more like him.
I think always got to bring a little something.
Yeah,
I know, table. I know. Yeah. So, Dylan, thanks for coming on with us here. Thanks for supporting the show. I know, you know, through all of your word of mouth and social media, I know you're a good supporter of us trying to help grow the game of Western New York. So,
absolutely.
Why don't we just kind of introduce yourself? I know this is the first time you're coming on our show. Give us a little golf background on yourself. How'd you become a golf PGA professional?
Yeah, absolutely. So, my name's Dylan Hayes, head pro here at Pendleton Creek Golf Club. I'm actually a local guy. I grew up in Buffalo here. I actually grew up here at Pendleton Creek, which was formerly known as Tantara Golf Club. So my dad actually joined here in 2001, back in the day. So I grew up, I actually was in our junior program here, and my high school course was here as well. So I kind of got to grow up here and see the evolution and the changes here at Pendleton Creek, and it's been awesome to see this club grow so much over the years. So I started working here when I was 16 in the bag room and have kind of worked my way up the ladder the last few years here. I joined the PGA program in 2018, so I've been in for a few years. So I passed my PAT in 2018.
Which is the playing ability test. Yes.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
So how does that work? I'm sure people might be interested in how that happens.
Yeah. So once you want to take the commitment to get into the PGA program, there's a qualifying test that you have to pass. and that's like a written test. So I passed that test, and then you have to playing ability test, which is a 36-hole test that you are that they give you a target score based on the slope of the course that you're playing. I was at Hickory Stick, and I think the target score was 154 or something like that.
Pair of 77s or something. Yeah,
pair of 77s.
Sounds easy, but when they put that number up there, it's harder. Like if you're just trying to play to win a tournament, that's one thing. If they say you can't shoot above this, I always thought that was harder. Like, well, I made a mistake. I'm one shot closer.
And let's remind everybody, you're playing the back tees too. So
So adding to that, it is a challenge, and you know your career is kind of on the line. So it's a little bit of a the nerves are kicking in, but. No, I was able to pass that, and an opportunity came. Obviously, it wasn't a 12-month job that I had up here. Mm-hmm. So during the winters, I had to figure something out. So an opportunity came to move down to San Antonio, Texas. So I moved down there for a year during the winter. I worked at a course called Silverhorn Golf Club, and that was in the same company. It was CBIG that owned Tantera, so they also own Fox Valley and Briarwood. Now CBIG has sold those clubs in the Northeast. So I was able to work for CBIG down in Texas, and then I came back up north for a summer, and then I moved back down to Boca West and worked down in South Florida for a winter, and then that was last year. And the new ownership started last year in 2021. Is when Pendleton Creek started and was into existence, and the rest is history. Now it's Pendleton Creek. The ownership asked me to come back home and be the head pro here, and I couldn't be happier to be back in this position here at Pendleton Creek for sure.
And one of the things I hear from word of mouth and everything around town is you're really, really, really good with kids in the junior program. So tell us a little bit about your junior program here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Don Schneider, he's the director of golf here, and we work great together. So we run.
That's not what he said.
Yeah, he's making a funny face.
Yeah. So we definitely have our fun, and our junior program has grown over the years. This year we have 120 kids in our junior program, which is
a lot.
120, crazy, Jeff.
That is huge. Yeah, I had one like that once. You need a lot of staff.
So let me just set the scene here, because my son is in it, who actually we're going to talk to in a second. I volunteer every year to help out with it because I love it. I think it's so cool.
And it's fun.
You know, one of the things we always talk about, are part of the reason we do the show, grow the game and get an opportunity to get new golfers going. And to have, so they had 120 kids here on Wednesday morning, and 40 of them are in one kind of division and then 80 in another. And there's 80 kids. So in the younger kids, kind of the brand new division, 80 kids surrounding Don and Dylan on the putting green here. And I was trying to take a picture of it. I'm like, wow. I said, what a cool thing. 80 young kids, like, I want to learn about golf. Like, that's pretty cool.
Well, you didn't get there because you didn't have a good program. You weren't making it fun. Otherwise, you wouldn't have 120 kids here. So you're doing something right. And it is cool. I mean, I had a program with 120 kids at one time, and that's just, you're nervous the whole time because there's so many kids.
Lot,
yeah, it's a lot of kids. Yeah. But it must be great, and the kids must be loving it. So.
Oh, yeah. And Brian, we put him to work every week, too. So I really appreciate Brian's help. He's always there. So.
Oh, I appreciate that. So I'm one of the things that I think that is so good, Dylan, that I'll speak for you. One of the reasons that I think you do get 120 kids to sign up is that you do make golf fun. And I think that if somebody asked me, like, why is Dylan work so well with junior golfers? I say, because Dylan makes it fun.
Yeah.
Jeff, you say that all the time. PGA pros have to continue to do a good job on making golf fun for everybody, regardless of age, skill level. That's something that's really important.
Well, we talk, fun is the first fundamental for the kids. Yeah, the first thing they have to do is have fun, so they want to come back. You can teach them all the other stuff. They got years and years to learn that, but they got to get hooked on the game and understand why the game is so much fun.
Yeah. All right. So, Dylan, you kind of went through that process to becoming a PGA pro. Now you're here. Now you're doing the thing here at Pendleton Creek. And one of the things is junior golf. So
correct. Yeah.
You've got lots of different options for juniors here. Tell us a little bit about that, beyond even the golf camp, though, that we just mentioned.
Yeah. So this year I felt like it was a good idea to do our PGA Junior League. I saw a lot of other teams in the area doing PGA Junior League. And I figured, why not with such a healthy junior, you know, junior golf membership here. Why not try a PGA Junior League and get our course out there and known? So I feel like we have a lot of talent here for our juniors, and I felt like it would be a great opportunity to showcase that.
Yeah. All right. One of those things beyond golf camp is PGA Junior League. That's something that we've talked about. So we're going to bring in a couple of the players here that play for the Pendleton Creek squad. One of them is my son.
Yes, I know your son quite well. I know his golf game well, too. Yeah. Yes.
Jack Koziel, of course, that's my son.
Yeah,
that's
his last name.
And Aiden Mapes.
A couple studs.
That's right. Okay, boys.
A couple good golfers.
Don't forget, you got to hold the mic up right next up to your mouth. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Hello.
I woke him up bright and early this morning.
Yes, we were shocked to see.
Were you excited to do this?
Maybe.
Jack, with all your dad's radio experience, is this your first time on the radio?
Yeah.
All right.
I know.
You got to answer with more than one word at a time, though, Jack. We're trying to engage in conversation.
Yeah. All right. So, pass the mic over to Aiden. Let's him get his fans a little hearing of his voice. This is Aiden Mapes. Aiden, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So you and Jack play for. You guys do a couple of things. We're going to talk about those things, but let's start with PGA Junior League. So, Aiden, tell us. Can you tell us a little bit how that works?
So, do you want to explain like the scramble? Or?
Well, let's. Dylan, why don't you jump in? How does PGA Junior League work? And then we'll talk to them about what they like about it.
Yeah, for sure. So PGA Junior League is pretty much like a all-star team for our course where we can, you know, showcase against other, clubs in the area. So we have a 13U and a 17U team. These young gentlemen here are on the 13U team. And it is a scramble format, so it's a fun two-person format that doesn't put as much pressure on the kid. So they work together as a team. It's really nice to see, you know, we had a match at Hickory Stick, and just to see all the parents and the kids come together as a team, it was really fun to see. So it's been awesome to see these kids grow and get more competitive in the game.
Are you two on a team together, Aiden?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Aiden, what do you like about PGA Junior League?
I just love how you get to go out there with your friends, have fun. Doesn't matter if you have a bad shot, because you still have your partner for your next shot. And whatever he does, if he has a good shot, you could just take his ball, and then it doesn't really matter if you have a bad shot. That's what I love about it.
Yeah,
and you get to play other courses, too?
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun experience to see these new courses and just the hills and their greens crazy.
I know. At Hickory Stick, that was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
Jack, you want to chime in here? What do you like about PGA Junior League?
I like that I get to meet new people and get to play a format that I don't play as often. And I get to play some really nice courses, and some of them I wouldn't normally get a chance to play.
That's true.
Yeah, we got a big match tomorrow at Transit Valley Country Club.
Ooh, you're going to
so
you guys are going
to
win, right?
Ready to go.
Yeah.
What's also cool, they get jerseys with their name on it and the number and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. You get to, you know, put whatever you want on the back of the jersey and customize it with your number. And, you know, PGA Junior League, they've done a really good job of making it fun for the kids. So we had to do it.
Chance for advancement, too, right?
Yeah.
They can go to playoffs and everything else.
For sure.
All right. Yeah. I just know this from coaching kids. You guys got to pick a number for your jersey, right? All right. Jack, what number are you?
I'm 10.
Okay. Why'd you pick 10?
Because I like Harry Kane.
Who's Harry Kane for everybody that doesn't know?
He's a soccer player in the Premier League.
That's right. For
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yes, that's right. All right, Aiden, you're...
Aiden, you must play hockey, Aiden. I can tell by the flow. Right. Yeah,
Aiden, tell us the flow. What was your number for PGA Junior League?
96.
Is that your hockey number? Is that why you picked
hockey number, baseball number, everything.
96. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. All right, now, both of you are in camp with Coach Dylan and Coach Don. You both are in PGA Junior League. And you also play another thing that the Western PGA offers, which is Western PGA Junior Tour. Dylan, why don't you tell us a little bit what that is all about? Did you play in that too when you were a junior?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely remember that. That was my first chance of, you know, playing all those other courses. I remember, getting an opportunity to compete against some really, you know, talented young kids of my age. And I know our man Jack here has actually won a few events, finished second last week, I think, in a tournament. So. It's a really good chance to get out there and compete against, you know, other kids your age that have a lot of talent.
Aiden, you're doing it for the first time this year, right?
Yeah, I did it for the first time. I played in the 17U one, I think. And it was just
You have to play the 18 hole, right?
Yeah,
because you're just a few months older than Jack, so you've got to play in that 18.
Yeah, it was just fun because even though I knew I wasn't going to, like, go up in the standings a lot, but I just had fun playing out there with the older kids. Like, they kind of taught me what to do because I, like, I told them it was my first time, so they taught me everything. It was fun, and they just didn't care. They were having fun with me, too.
That's awesome.
And that's how you get better, right? Yeah. Cause, so you probably feel like you got better that day.
Yeah, and I had Tyler Grimm with me, so I...
He's a good player. That's right. Yeah. He's a member here, too.
Yeah.
Jack, I know you've done the tour now for a few years. You even played an event yesterday. So what do you like about the junior tour? What's different about that from junior league?
So I like that I get to play my own ball because, like, in, like, high school, for varsity, I have to play my own ball.
Yeah.
And the difference of PG Junior League is that if you have a bad shot, like, someone can't save you.
Right. Right. And this one, you got to play it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you learned that
and
yesterday,
I can't
unfortunately.
Pick up after a max.
That's right. Oh, there's no max. You got to keep playing. But you know what? You've learned from that, right? You have a rough hole. Yeah. That's always tough for all of us playing. Even when I'm playing out here and you have a rough hole, like, what do you do next?
Yeah, especially when you're in a tournament and you feel like that hole maybe, like, cost you a lot. Yeah. Right. Well, I think you grind it out. You know, I was always taught you shoot the best score you can that day, and I'd much rather shoot 80 than 81 or whatever it is. You know, you're always going to try to put the best score up you can, and unfortunately everybody's going to have rough holes, and that's part of golf, and that's just kind of sometimes the way it goes. I don't care who you are, you're going to have bad holes.
That's right. Tee to green here, 7:15 on WGR. We're live at Pendleton Creek Golf Club, one of our home clubs. Brian Coles, the LPGA Pro, Jeff Mitis. We're with the head golf professional, Dylan Hayes, and also a couple of the junior players here from the club, Aiden Mapes and Jack Koziel. Also, the reason we wanted you two guys to come on is a pretty cool story, Dylan. We have two guys in the seventh grade that both made their varsity golf team. So that's pretty
cool. That's pretty special there, yeah.
That is pretty cool. Aiden, what school do you go to?
I go to Star Point right now.
Okay, and you made the varsity golf team out there. That's impressive. Good for you.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience. Even though I was, like, really young, still had, like, really fun time with the older kids. And just the other older kids were just amazed. And even if, like, they outdrove me by, like, 100 yards, they were all, like, shocked. And they were like, wow, that's really nice drive by you for your age. And it was just really fun. They just noticed, like, even though they outdrove me by a lot, I, like, how good, like, I was for my age.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You beat them up on the green, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you must have some game because you made the team.
That's great.
Yes.
And, Jack, you play for what school?
I play for Will East.
For Will East. And that team, I know from following high school golf, was a stacked team, a ton of seniors, right?
Yeah.
How many seniors were on that team?
Eight.
Wow.
8 out of 12. So, yes.
So you're the pipeline, like the Sabres. Oh, yeah, the draft picks.
That's right. Exactly.
You guys somewhat. Are the pipeline.
Yeah. Exactly.
What was that like being with all those seniors, being the seventh grader on that team?
I felt nervous at first, but then they treated me like I was their younger brother.
Yeah.
And they were, like, also a foot taller than me. And they could drive it 150 yards farther than me.
And they could drive a car to practice, too, probably. Yeah,
basically. Yeah.
It was – sometimes I would pick them up. Every kid would get into their car, and then, you know, I would be there picking them up or whatever. Yeah. So that was a little different experience. But, yeah, I mean, getting to play varsity golf, I'm sure that's helped you play junior golf better, too, right? I mean, playing from the varsity, you have to play from what tees for varsity?
The whites.
So that's even a little bit more of a challenge, having to play that extra distance.
Yeah, because you're playing against varsity golfers. Yeah.
So Menties, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Well, that's impressive that both you guys made the team. So you guys must really, really like playing golf, and you're obviously good at it.
That's right. So, yeah, these two, so the junior camp they're involved in, PJ Junior League, PJ Junior Tour, and they both made their own varsity golf team. So That's a big reason why we wanted to bring these guys on, just to show, like, what you can do, Dylan, right? There's so many options for juniors.
Definitely. And that's the first year that they're eligible to make their varsity team, you know. So, like, in sixth grade, you're not eligible, I don't think. And now in seventh grade, you know, to get that experience, you know, now, you know, the sky's the limit for the next few years. Just to get involved with the game, get involved with your junior programs, you know, PGA Junior League. You know, when I was younger, I would love to get just dropped off at the golf course and play with my buddies all day. And now to see these younger guys come in here and love the game that much and just love being at the course, it's really great to see.
Jack, what's the best advice Dylan's given you for golf?
It's not fashion advice.
Have fun.
There we go.
Have fun.
We have a putt off that we've been running. Jack used to be like half my size, and he would beat me sometimes. I remember that was fun.
Yeah. Well, Aiden and Jack, great job for your. Was that your radio debut as well, Aiden? Yeah. All right. Well, you guys did a great job. You might someday you can take Jeff and I and take our job. You can take the show over.
You're real close to getting my job. Yeah, you're probably gonna be beating me at golf soon too.
That's right. Good job, guys. Keep playing. Glad you're having fun. All right, Aiden Mapes and Jack Hosiel, two of the junior golfers here at Pendleton Creek. Dylan, before we let you go, I know you've got a big event coming up today here, a Ryder Cup event. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, for sure. So we have our Ryder Cup. This is pretty much our most popular event for our members. It actually used to be a two-day event. We've shortened it to a one-day event this year. But there's one red team, one blue team, and there's a few different formats that we play. The first six holes are a two-man best ball. The next six holes are an alternate shot format, and then the final six holes are a match play format. So it gets to be pretty intense at the end, and everyone's relying on partners to step up, and it's just a fun event that we do here.
Alternate shot is tough, Jeff.
It is.
You've done that plenty of times, right?
Not plenty of times, but I've done it. Yeah, it's one of my most tension-filled formats because you feel more pressure because of your partner. I feel less pressure playing my own golf ball. I don't want to put my partner in a bad spot with a bad shot.
You hit a bad tee shot or something, and now you're feeling bad because your partner's having to hit through three trees or something, or vice versa. Like, if they hit a great shot, Dylan, to the green, and you've got 6 feet, you're like, I have to make this, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, you feel that pressure more. Yeah, and then you miss it, and you're like, oh, sorry, dude. Yeah. There's no sorry in those events. That's what I always say. You can never say you're sorry as long as you're trying. Yeah.
All right, Dylan, last thing before we go here. This could be for Aiden, Jack, or any junior golfer here. Maybe they want to grow up and be a PGA pro just like you here. You told us about the path here. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say my biggest advice, after college, I graduated from Buff State. I tried selling life insurance, but it wasn't really a passion of mine. I would just say, stick with what you're passionate about. It might take a few more years, but just to keep working hard at what you love, and good things can happen to good people. So that would be my biggest advice.
That's excellent advice. Yeah.
You want to add on to that, Jeff?
No, I think that was eloquently said. Yeah. And I completely agree with him. Yes.
Excellent. Well, Dylan, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
I know you got a busy Ryder Cup day. Yeah. We'll let you go get ready, but thanks for joining us here on Tee to Green.
For sure. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Dylan Hayes, the head golf professional here at Pendleton Creek.
And a really good dude.
Exactly. I would agree. Okay, we'll take a quick time out here. Our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week coming up with Jeff Mitis. We'll preview the Porter Cup, our Open Championship look ahead as well, some news and notes along the way as we take our first time out from one of our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel, Corey Jackson producing back in our Amherst studios. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green, back in a moment right here on WGR.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Listen up, golfers. It's time for our Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
7:25, welcome back to Pendleton Creek Golf Club here in Pendleton as we broadcast live from the patio. I want to thank the junior golfers, Aiden Mapes, Jack Koziel, for joining us last segment. Also, the head golf professional, Dylan Hayes, for coming on. And Jeff, you went through that experience, obviously, at a different time period than Dylan did. But I think I always like hearing, like, in any career, like, how did you get to where you're at? And to hear the story of how you become a certified PGA professional. Like, I know that's something that you value because you know people have gone through a lot of hard work, taken a lot of classes.
Yep.
Had some, you know, interaction with a lot of people in the golf industry to get yourself to this position where he is today.
Yeah, and you got to be able to play, and there's a lot of
and that
things.
Too. Yeah, for sure.
And he, obviously he's very good at, you know, I hear a lot of good things, and I have, like he said, the passion he has for it, he loves golf, and he loves what he's doing, and he loves teaching juniors, and you can tell that shows up in people's work. You know what I mean? So when you're around people like that, that's what makes things fun. You know, that was part of when I got into the business. I was around guys that were very, very passionate about golf, and when you work with people that are passionate about golf and you're talking about, and that's what makes the industry great, and that's why he has 120 kids in his junior program, because he's passionate about it. His fun for the game, his love for the game is showing through, and the kids pick up on that, and the parents pick up on that, and the golfers pick up on that, and that's what makes you a good golf professional. I liked his answer. You know, he was doing something he didn't really like, and now he's doing something he really likes. And then it's not so much a job as it is more of a calling if you're going to be a PGA pro, because there's so many hours. You lose your summers. You know, there's a lot of time at the club. But you never thought of it that way, because today I'm running a tournament. Running tournaments is fun. Today I'm teaching juniors. Today I'm giving lessons. Giving lessons is fun.
Yeah, it's so, not just playing every week. I know people think, you just sit around, you give lessons, and you play golf. Like,
no.
That's that, but there's a lot more involved.
Oh yeah, well, you're managing a golf operation. You know, you got 225 golfers.
Dylan's loading bags right now.
Yeah, he's loading bags. He's got 225 golfers walking through the door each day, and everybody's a different personality, different game, different. You know, there's men, women, kids. There's tournaments. There's outside events. There's just so many different hats that a PGA professional wears, and you have to excel at all of them. And it takes a little while. And but you know, that's the passion for the game, and it's every part of the game, like club fitting, merchandising, event. I mean, you could go on and on and on, all the different roles and responsibilities you have. And but you're at a golf course. You know what I mean? You're around. You're outside. You're in nature. You're around people that are happy to be here today. So it does make it a very, very nice career path.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our Westinger PGA Tip of the Week. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be, I'm sure people listening here are going to be watching a lot of the Open Championship next week. Mm-hmm. And we know that when we watch this tournament, guys tend to be extremely creative around the greens. There's a lot of runoff areas, kind of different levels of what you'd call maybe the fringe or the first cut around the green itself. We've seen players hit hybrids and three woods and seven irons and, you know, do all sorts of different trick shots and all sorts of different stuff around the green. So let's just talk maybe a little bit about the decisions. I think we're seeing a trend in Western New York with courses, Jeff, where around the greens, we're seeing more of these areas that maybe we see all the time on a links course, like at the Open Championship. So would you say that's correct, maybe?
I would say that's correct, because I've gone around and played different facilities. You do see people transitioning to more, instead of just rough 2 inches off the court, or you know, the collar and then the rough, now they're going to mow it to fairway length around the edges more, or around the back. And what it does is it gives you more options as a player to hit different shots. Now, some people like hitting out of the rough because they like it fluffed up and grass, and some people like it on the firm turf. But it does give you options, and it makes the game a little faster too, to be honest. And it looks cool. But I do think that, like trees, people used to plant trees right next to the green. They don't do that anymore. Trees are, you know, you don't plant trees on turf farms, you know. So, but that is a direction or a trend in the industry, I think, because it gives people more options and more types of shots that you can play around the golf course.
The Open Championship, we know we've seen some of these shots. We've seen, if I was watching a highlight, remember the name Costantino Rocca?
I do.
Yes.
I remember when
he
last
made,
hole. Yes.
Yeah, I was the broadcast on the last hole. He's trying to tie John Daly. He's got to get up and down, and he's way down the collar, and the announcers are talking, should he chip this, should he putt it? And it ended up coming up way short and ended up rolling back. And then he ended up putting and he ended up making it.
Like a 50-footer.
Yeah, and he falls on the ground. And then him and Daly have to go to a playoff. Daly ends up winning. Of course, John Daly's Open Championship story. But then Todd Hamilton, another name from Open Championship lore.
Yeah, the hybrid.
Yeah, he had that just teeny little bump around the green.
You know, and I remember when that happened, he was chipping with the hybrid at the event. That next morning, you know, everybody on the golf course that I was at was out there with their hybrid hitting little shots. And it made a lot of sense because that club couldn't dig. So it's still a good shot. Like if you're around the greens and you're in one of those firm or your low cut areas, a hybrid's great. Just get the heel of that club off the ground a little bit, choke up on your hybrid and hit it like a putt. Because it doesn't have that leading edge that can dig into the ground that sometimes people hit their club fat when they're trying to hit those shots, that hybrid will make that easier. But, yeah, I remember that was happening. And to see the creating – I'm old enough to remember watching Seve whip around British Open golf courses and watching his creativity at play.
So what would you suggest if you're not on the putting surface, where obviously you would use putter, but what if it's maybe like in a collection area or a runoff there, like is that a spot where I should use – a 60-degree wedge? Should I use a 7-iron? Should I use a hybrid? Like what?
Well, I think there's a lot of options.
What should I think about?
Yeah, well, I guess it would depend what you're trying to do with the golf ball or what your confidence level is. You know, I'm pretty confident with my lob wedge on a tight lie, so I may use that because I'm comfortable with that. I think a lot of people are more confident with a 7-iron or a 7 or 8-iron because they're a little stronger lofted nowadays. But I think that's an excellent shot. So people that aren't confident with their wedges it may not be an option for them because of whatever their situation is. Take that club, move it back in your stance a little bit, like your 7. I'm going to use a 7-iron.
Yeah.
Take it back in your stance, stand closer, narrow stance, a little back in your stance, choke up on it, and get that heel of the club off. That's kind of important because that prevents the club from dinging, and you'll hit it a little bit off the toe. I think we used this tip last year, but it's a great tip. And then you hit it a tiny bit off the toe on those irons, and it'll come off nice and uniform. Sometimes when you're chipping with an iron, there's a little hot spot on those clubs. Sometimes the ball will jump off a little bit hot, so you want to kind of deaden it by hitting it a tiny bit towards the toe of the golf club. And you achieve that by standing close, getting the heel of the club off the ground, and a nice short grip. So choke down way on the grip and putting stroke. And the handle of the club should always be ahead when you're hitting that shot. Make sure the handle of the club isn't behind the ball at impact.
That's one thing that I feel like I'm doing a better job at is looking at options. I used to always just grab my lob wedge or a 60 and just be like, all right, I'm just going to try to land it by the pin. If you have green to work with, I feel like I'm doing a better job, I know, in my game of seeing, okay, you know what? This is flat here. It's I can bump and run this fairly easily. And I think
it's a simpler shot.
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's even going back to the miss for me is a much better result if I'm doing a bump and run versus if I'm trying that flop shot. Maybe I accidentally scull it because I lift up, or maybe I fly it. Whereas this bump and run, the miss, I'm still maybe going to be within 10 feet, even if it's, you know, not one of my, quote, better shots in this. So I guess I'm looking at it in that way, too, is that I'm still maybe keeping par in play or something along those lines.
Yeah, and I like what you're thinking there because the simpler shots, the better. So if I'm standing next to the green and I'm trying to throw the ball underhanded to the hole, how am I going to do that? If I've got a long way to go, I'm going to basically roll it. I'm going to get down and get it on the ground and get it rolling. If I've got a short way to go, I may throw it higher in the air. And that's kind of how I visualize that shot. And I think if you take a lot of negative options out when you hit the chip and run, too, that you take a lot of those bad shots out. And you should practice it a little. It's hard, you know, if you haven't ever hit that shot, go to the before your round instead of just hitting all putts around the putting green, drop a couple on the collar and take your 7-iron out and hit some low rollers and just, you know, get used to that. And that's the simpler the better. And don't complicate the shot by trying to, a lot of people try to throw the ball in the air for every pitch, everything around the green they think they need to hit it high. Go watch the tour players and watch next weekend at the British Open or the Open, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And see how they approach it and learn from their games.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of creativity with that. And
experimenting, right? Yeah, like you're experimenting.
Yeah. And sometimes you're right. Maybe it's elevated. Maybe I need a little bit more lofted club. Maybe I'm going to throw it up, let it land in the green. Mm-hmm. If it's flatter, maybe you can bump it through the fringe or that first cut and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that's been a real fun part for me trying to improve my scores, strategizing around the green a little bit more.
I try not to land it in the rough, though. I try to make sure the first land is on the green.
On the green.
Yeah.
Last thing, the ball up against the collar sometimes happens.
Yes.
Is that a spot to use like a hybrid, or would you still putt it and maybe hit a little bit more down on the ball? Like, what do you?
Do is I'll take my wedge, my sand wedge, and I'll use it like a putter, and I'll elevate it a half inch or whatever it is, because I feel like that'll cut through that collar a little bit better. My putter, I'm afraid that, you know, it'll I'll de-loft it or it'll pop up in the air. What I'm going to try to do is I'll take the leading edge of that sand wedge, I'll raise it about a half inch or to the equator of the golf ball, and I'll take a bunch of practice strokes feeling how that goes through that rough into that other area, and then I try to hit the equator of the golf ball and it'll get it rolling just like a putt. That one you might want to practice once or twice.
Good tips there on some of the creativity around the green shots that you'll be watching this week at the Open Championship. Again, brought to you by the Western New York PGA, which has one goal, growing and promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. Also, kudos to those that were at Drive, Chip, and Putt on Thursday. The Western New York PGA was a part of that. I know a lot of their staff and volunteers were there at Glen Oak Golf Course. And congrats to all the participants and those that are moving on to the next round. Chance to maybe end up at Augusta National. That would be kind of fun.
That is. We've had some kids from the area do it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of the area, another cool event coming up next week where we'll be for our show next Saturday. Niagara Falls Country Club hosting the Porter Cup. It's the 63rd annual Porter Cup coming up next week. We'll be there on Saturday for the final round. The tournament is Wednesday through Saturday. It's free. It's open to the public. If you've never been up to Niagara Falls Country Club, as Jeff and I will attest, it's one of the most beautiful walks in Western New York golf.
It is, yes.
And not only if you've never seen the course, you can check it out, but a chance to see the next set of great players, possibly on the PGA Tour.
There will be tour players coming out of this. Yeah. You can, every year there's somebody in this event that ends up on the tour, that's for sure.
So a name that maybe, if you've been following the tour this year, Denny McCarthy's had a really good year and had a chance to, he was close at the U.S. Open, and even was there the following week at the Travelers Championship. He won the Porter Cup in 2017. So that's just a real recent player that's already had immediate success on the PGA Tour.
And we had a local guy win it last year, Ben Reichert, which was great. You know, I mean, there hadn't been a local guy win that in 40 or 50 years or something like that. And, you know, he went on to win the New York State Open or Amateur and the Florida Amateur too. So he's a good player. And those are the kind of players you get when you go watch the Porter Cup. These are tour-level kids that are going to be tour. The next step for most of these kids is trying to get on the tour.
Yeah. So just a little more background on this event. As Jeff said, PGA Tour players for sure will end up playing, that it will play in this event, will be there for this event. When we were there for Media Day on Thursday, Media Chairman Marty Schimmel gave everybody, by the way, thanks to Marty and everybody for hosting us. A very, very fun event. They give us a nice lunch spread, which, of course,
we've discussed.
We value that. So 86 players will be in this event from 11 different countries. Marty said it's believed to be the most countries ever represented at the Ryder Cup. He also believes, you know, they didn't have the exact number, but could be the youngest group again. They actually will have a guy that we remember we interviewed last year at East Aurora, Zevi Perez, a 12-year-old.
I saw that, yeah.
Will be the youngest participant in Porter Cup history. Will Thompson was a 13-year-old player out of Rochester that ended up playing for the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. You remember him.
I do.
From maybe about a half dozen or so years ago, maybe more than that even. Was 13, was the youngest. Now Zevi Perez, a 12-year-old, will be playing in this Porter Cup event next week.
But he can play. It's just not like a cute story that he's playing.
Right.
The kid's good.
Yeah, he can play. He's won a lot of tournaments across the country. He goes all over. He was at the International Junior Masters in East Aurora a few weeks ago.
He's got the NIL contracts already.
Yes. So locally, in terms of interest of players, you mentioned Ben Reichert that won it last year. A player that locally that has been playing outstanding golf, and I know the people at Niagara Falls Country Club are really excited about, Anthony DeLisante out of Sanborn. He played his first year of college golf at Valparaiso. Mm-hmm. Had a great freshman year, and he's going to be playing in it this year.
And I haven't met Anthony. I've heard a lot about it, and I see the scores Anthony shoots. And, you know, he's no joke. He's a fine player. He'll be fun to watch. It'd be fun to have him compete and do well in this event. And he's supposed to be a gentleman on top of everything else, too. So I'm rooting for him this week. You know, he'll be the guy I'll be watching on the leaderboard as I check the scores every day from this event, because I'm always checking the scores on this. This is a cool event, and I want to see these names and remember these kids.
Another player that's ranked high with amateur ranking points, Garrett Rank, who second last year to Reichert in the tournament.
What's he more famous for?
The committee was saying that, yes, he's more famous maybe for being known as an NHL official.
Yes.
So he'll be playing, and you got to think he's going to be one of the favorites to try to win this week after finishing second last year.
And he's not young, so there. I mean, these are just amateurs. Most of the field's young, but then there's players like Garrett Rank, who competes in the U.S. Amateur, who's a super good player. I mean, he's well known in amateur circles throughout the country.
This event has had some of the best in the world play it, including, you know, if you think about the best ever, Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. He had a hole-in-one on the 12th hole on the par 3 there.
There's a plaque there for
Niagara
that.
Falls for Country Club for that. Phil Mickelson, of course, has won many majors. He won the event in 1990. David Duval has won this event, too. Ben Crenshaw has won this event. So
didn't Clampett win it or something like that?
Maybe, yeah. Bobby Clampett. Yeah, there's been...
He played.
He has played it. But some of the names that you may know right now, you know, that have played professional golf. Dustin Johnson, he played in this event. Ricky Fowler played in this event. Justin Thomas played in this event. So there are some they say Fowler. Ricky Fowler has played in this event. There has been a lot of players that you would recognize from the PGA Tour that have gone on to go from the, you know, playing in the Porter Cup and going on to play in the PGA Tour. So it's
A lot of these kids, this will be their last summer amateur golf, or some of them will be their last event as an amateur, and they'll start working on trying to get their tour card.
Yeah, so a really good field, 86 players, 11 countries, starts on Wednesday at Niagara Falls Country Club. We would encourage you to go up and cheer them on, and again, kudos to all those involved with getting that tournament done. Running tournaments, a lot of work. Those at East Aurora that did the IJM a few weeks ago know all about that, and now another event coming up at the Porter Cup, so another cool spot for golf in Western New York.
Yeah, we're lucky to have all these events in our backyard that are nationally known, and like next year we're hosting the PGA Championship in Rochester again at Oak Hill, and that's you know, people, well, you can't be good at golf. Well, yeah, there's some of the best golf courses in the country, and some of the best golf in the country is played in this area.
Yep. Hey, before we go to break, we want to remind you, sign up for our Tee to Green Duster Putting Challenge. It's Friday, August 12th at Glen Oak Golf Course in Amherst. Starts at 6 o'clock. It benefits the PGA Reach Foundation here in Western New York. It's just a $35 donation, and it gets you into the putting contest, gets you a full dinner, unlimited beverages. We got 50-50 going on. We'll have other raffles. We're going to be giving away foursomes to some great courses all across Western New York, courtesy a lot of our PGA pros donating that. So it's a really fun time. We got music going.
It's fun.
Yeah. And you come and you're going to putt for 18 holes, and we have 72 golfers in it. And then the top 16 go on, and they have little nine-hole mini match plays, and then we crown a champion. We give him the
under
Duster
the lights.
Pacer putter for our good late friend Mark Pacer. Yes, under the lights at that point, and we crown you as Western New York's best putter. But we want everybody to sign up. Even if you are not even a, quote, you know, hardcore golfer, if you're playing and you want to bring your spouse or you want to bring your kid, like, feel free. We'd love to have you. I'll tweet out the link again during the commercial break here coming up. But you can also sign up WNYPGA.com. Click on the tournaments tab and then just go down to August 12th, and it's right there. You can sign up. Again, it's just a $35 donation. We'd love to have you come. All you do is bring your putter, and you'll have a great night of fun.
We talked to David Jones after we were at East Aurora, the PGA professional at East Aurora Country Club. He said, hey, this is just he looks forward to it on his calendar now, and his family likes to go too. Even if they're not playing, they like to watch.
Yeah, so his son Cole will be playing in it as well this year. And Charlie Fisher from Orchard Park, who's played for Orchard Park High School recently, has won it 2 years in a row. I got a little text from his coach, Nate Leary, that says he should be back for going for the three-peat this year.
I'm sure he won't miss it. He played in the Junior Masters. Yes,
that's right.
Yes, so a lot of good golf.
Yeah. Okay, time out here from Pendleton Creek. When we come back, we'll look ahead to next week's Open Championship. We'll give you our picks as we roll on here from Pendleton Creek. PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel. Corey Jackson back in our Amherst studios. We appreciate you listening and waking up here with us on a Saturday morning. More Tee to Green coming up from Pendleton Creek right after this on WGR. Welcome back. It's our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard here, brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. Well, a lot of the PGA pros are playing in the Genesis Scottish Open in North Berwick, Scotland. That's where Kevin Sylvester is this week. You can hear him on PGA Tour Radio. Cameron Tringale's had a a nice first round, a 61. He followed up with a 72 yesterday, but he's still got a three-shot lead over Gary Woodland and Doug Gim. So Tringali at -7, Woodland and Gim at -4. There's a big group at -3 that include a couple of big names. U.S. Open champion Matthew Fitzpatrick's at -3, so he's right there. Xander Schauffele, who just won recently on the PGA Tour, is at -3. And how about this Ricky Fowler, a guy that we know, a talented player that unfortunately maybe is not heading in the right direction with the way his career's going. He's at -2, tied for 8th. Fowler has actually played Open Championships pretty good. What a great story that could be if he could be in contention next week, Jeff.
Well, that would be a lot of fun to see him. He's such a fan favorite. And speaking of fan favorites, this is the Champions Tour Leaderboard Report brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf attire. We got a four-way tie at the Bridgestone Senior Players Championship at Firestone Country Club in Akron. Stephen Alker at 6-under tied with Tim Petrovic, Alex Cheka, and Joe Durant. So that's a nice golf course for those guys to play this week.
LPGA, this no event this week officially on the tour. The last event that they played was the LPGA Women's Championship a few weeks ago when Injie Chung played. So no official event there this week on the LPGA Tour. Okay, let's talk about the Open Championship here in our final segment. Next week, it'll be at St. Andrews, the home of golf. The 150th Open.
Can you imagine that they have it there. If you could pick one event to win, I mean, that's pretty cool to win the British 150th Open at St. Andrews. That'd be that's a feather in anybody's cap right there. They'd never take that one away from you.
And Tiger Woods playing.
Yes, which is cool.
He played in the Pro-Am in Ireland last week. Didn't do so well. What are we expecting from Tiger?
You know, I expect him to be competitive. He wouldn't be there if he didn't feel he was competitive. I'm not going to look at his Pro-Am score and judge anything with that because knowing Tiger, he might have been out there trying to hit certain shots all day that match what he's going to try to do at St. Andrews, more so than worrying about what score he was shooting that day. I know he went to, I want to say Royal Berwick, or he went to another golf course this week with Rory McIlroy. Saw some videos of those two hanging out together discussing the science and art of the game of golf. And I think if Tiger's, well, first of all, we'll get a million eyeballs because everybody wants to watch Tiger and everybody's going to be rooting for him. It's a flat golf course. He should be able to get around. No one's more creative with the golf ball than Tiger. So I do think he's going to have a good chance to be very competitive this week.
All right. At the top, I don't think, if Woods makes the cut, I think I'd consider that. I know that's not what Tiger wants,
right,
but that would be the success bar for me, I think, coming in.
I think he's going to make the cut.
Easier walk. He knows this course. Doesn't have to hit driver that much if he doesn't want to. Yeah. Remember that year he won it? I think that was 2000. He didn't even hit a driver.
Yeah, he just hit irons.
Get that stinger back, right? Get it ready to go.
Yeah, he can hit that still. Yeah. And, just because the creativity requires and the discipline it takes, because you're going to get those funky bounces over there. And some people that can send them sideways. Tiger's played enough golf that he'll just take that with a grain of salt and just keep moving. But he'll avoid the trouble. He'll map his way around the golf course. If he putts pretty well, I think he should have a decent week.
All right. At the top of the betting odds, Rory McIlroy, 9-1, is the betting favorite. What do you think about McIlroy's chances this week?
I think they're outstanding. I think he's the favorite, and he'd be the guy I'd pick because he's firing on all cylinders. Nobody in the game right now, when they're on top of their game, is as good as Rory McIlroy.
He is not playing in the Scottish Open this week, so.
Which was weird, yeah, but.
He's the only guy in the top 10 in the world, I think, that is not playing in this event this week. So you got a lot of other big names, including John Rahm, who, by the way, is even in this event, tied this week at the Scottish Open, tied for 21st. Rahm is 11-1. He's got to be another guy you got to think about this week.
Yeah, and he finally got his little chat with Tiger to pick his brain about the golf course that he wanted. And obviously, he's as talented as anybody in the world, but they're so good, and it's going to be such a competitive field. I feel like we have about 8 or 10 players we could talk about that are really got a good chance to win this week, and wouldn't surprise you.
With that being said, here's the next bunch of names, at least according to the odds makers: Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, who of course has won an Open Championship recently, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's been playing well, Xander Schauffele, who's been playing well.
I'm a little surprised Spieth's up there in the odds. I think maybe because he's popular, a lot of people bet him, but I don't think I've seen too much form from him lately.
So Spieth, of course, won an Open at St. Andrews. So
good point.
That could be it. And we know, look at, what did we spend our tip of the week on? The short game creativity. there's nobody as good as Spieth. He's one of the best in the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
That short game.
Yeah, maybe I retract my previous statement. Now it's starting to make more sense.
No, it makes sense because Spieth's been inconsistent and all that this year, but I just think maybe the format set up, the course.
Yeah, going back past success at a facility. You know, as a golfer, you always want to go to those places you played well at before because it gives you a boost of confidence.
By the way, Spieth yesterday on social media put out a statement saying that, you know, oh, if there's any sort of rumors out there about me joining the LIV Tour, 100% false. He's like, I'm committed to the PGA Tour. So if you had seen any of that with Spieth, he says he's all about the PGA Tour. But we will get some of the LIV golfers that have been playing in this, including Dustin Johnson. He'll be there. He's the highest-ranked LIV Golf Tour player on this list. But let's even the guy, look at Will Zalatoris has had a chance to win like six of the last eight majors. Right. He's a guy that you got to think about, too, in an event like this.
I know. We all look at his putting stroke and think, how is he doing this? But he does it. And, you know, well, that putting stroke, it won't hold up. Well, it's been holding up at all the majors. And how come he putts well when it matters most, like at the majors? And I guess we focus on him missing putts, and we forget to focus on how many putts he makes. And he does seem to just turn it on once the major lights go on.
Tiger, by the way, officially 40-1 in this event, but guys still ahead of him that, again, you wouldn't be surprised if they're there. Oosthuizen, who has been on the cusp of winning a major, he's 40-1. Tyrrell Hatton, 35-1. He's playing well this week. Sam Burns has had a really good year. He's 35-1. Kepka's played open championships well, 28-1. Hovland, 28-1. Cantlay, 28-1. Matsuyama, I mean, the names just continue to go and go here. Golf is so deep right now. It's great. And another major, the final one of the year here coming up.
Yeah, and to cap off a great golf year and all this, everything that's going on, to get it back to its roots at St. Andrews, and hopefully there'll be a little bit of weather, a little bit of wind to make it look like one of those British Opens we like to watch.
All right, who do you like?
I like Rory. Yeah, I think he just hits it too well, and he's playing too well right now, and he's got too many tools. He's got more tools in his bag than any of the other golfers.
I would agree. I'd be rooting hard for Rory. I think, you know,
other
than Tiger winning, I think it's the best story if Rory wins, just especially because of how he has been the face of the PGA Tour. We know it hasn't been easy maybe for him to talk and say some of the things he has. I'm sure there's some friendships that maybe, you know, might not be as strong at the moment because of some of the things that he's said. So I think him winning, I mean, the most realistic storyline, again, if Tiger wins, we know that's the biggest story possible. But if Rory wins, I think it's an absolutely great story. Talking myself into Spieth here with just thinking about all those sort of things. But you know who's been close, who's been playing well, is Schauffele, who's played this event well. I think maybe this is the week he finally gets his major. So that's going to be my pick this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to pick Rory. And Will Zalatoris is another name I'd like to watch because he, like you said,
I hope he gets it. He gets his major. He's been right on the doorstep.
He's been so close so many times, and it'd be nice to see him break through and get that off his back. Yeah,
I would agree. Hey, if you're thinking about who maybe you're going to make a wager on, make sure you follow our Jeff Blank on Twitter and Instagram. He posts his picks and his wager advice every day during the course of the tournament. Wednesday, he does his video preview. Tuesday, he does his value chart.
He uses data. He's not just...
Yes.
Yes, he's using data.
And he's having great success. So make sure you follow him at Jeff Blank T2G. Jeff actually was a part of our group on Thursday at Porter Cup Media Day, along with myself and others. So my brother was there. Nate Geary was there from the radio station, from WGR. So we had a good time. But make sure you follow Jeff's posts on if you like to put a little bucks on the side here, a few wagers on the open. Feel free to do so again at Jeff Blank T2G. All right, I'm going to tweet out the link for the Duster Challenge. Make sure you sign up for that. Jeff, have a great weekend.
Yeah, it's a beautiful weekend. I look forward to playing a little golf today.
Next week, we'll be at Niagara Falls Country Club talking about the Porter Cup.
Yep.
And talking about the Open Championship. Don't forget, if you want to go up to the Porter Cup, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll be up there for the final round. Looking forward to that, as that's where we'll be next week for our show. Okay, Jeff, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Brian. And it was great to have those kids on this morning. I love seeing those smiling faces and that attitude first thing in the morning.
I agree. Aiden and Jack, the kids that joined us, and Dylan Hayes, the head golf professional. Don Schneider, the director of golf here, also giving us a warm welcome. And we thank Pendleton Creek for their support of TD Green all throughout our golf season, which is where we are today. Thanks to Corey Jackson back in our studios. For PGA Pro Jeff Minas, Kevin Sylvester over in Scotland. You can listen to him on PGA Tour Radio as well. He's Work on the Genesis.
Yeah.
Scottish Open. So enjoy that. Good luck to all the Ryder Cup players here today at Pendleton Creek. They're lining up.
It looks like a big crowd.
Getting ready to go. Yep. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday from 7 to 8 right here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.